Hello, and welcome back after quite a lengthy hiatus. My name's Carl Monaghan. I am the founder of Pelvic Pain Matters and the owner of the Pelvic Pain Clinic. I'm joined by Tim Beams, also a founder member of Pelvic Pain Matters. And this is Pelvic Pain Natters with a N. How are you doing, Tim?
Good. Yeah, raring to go.
Good, good. It's lovely back doing these things again and the collaboration. I love working with you. I think we work so well together. And it's exciting to be back and generating some interest and doing our podcast on male pelvic pain conditions, including chronic prostatitis and chronic pelvic pain syndrome, but other bits and pieces that will fall under those umbrella terms in there as well.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, I always enjoy our chat. So great to get this back and going again.
It was May 2022 that we dropped our first podcast. Is that right?
23. Yeah, you're losing it. Yeah, lost the year. That's
It's been a hell of a year, that's for sure. It's been a pretty rough year. So yeah, it's nice to be getting some traction back with this again. Our aim is to start doing these regularly. And these are about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes reflections on male pelvic pain, stuff we're seeing in the clinic, stuff we're seeing in our online program, the 6-month recover program, bits of research, and things that just tickle our fancy, really, things that really take our interest. And we would.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, where to start today, I'm thinking.
Yeah, we were just talking before we came online about projecting into the future, kind of setting a plan for what pelvic pain matters and pelvic pain natters and the future of pelvic pain for men it could look like. And we were saying that we're very happy to invest in this. We're happy to look at this as something we want to build momentum with again. There has been a hiatus. I did lose some family members very, very dear to me, which obviously put me in a very interesting place mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's still going on in the background, but I'm very, very happy to invest my time again and get this momentum moving in the right direction as well. And I think it's something that is at the core of what we want to be doing in the future as well.
And maybe a part of the healing process as well.
Yeah, I just lost you there a little bit.
Oh, sorry, maybe a part of a healing process as well.
I think so. Yeah, it's going to be cathartic. Absolutely. I am all about pelvic pain. That's all I do, right? I've had it myself back in my mid-20s, and now 20 years on in my mid-40s, it's still very, very much a massive part of my life. Not as someone who suffers with the symptoms or the condition itself, but someone who has dedicated their life now moving further forward to helping men, and not only men with pelvic pain, but helping clinicians who treat male pelvic pain conditions, helping family members, friends, anyone who has someone in their life who's going through the symptoms that I think we should probably summarize what some of those symptoms are again, maybe bring that right to the foray as well.
Actually, I've got a loftier goal because I've had some really interesting conversations this week. So I connect with other researchers and clinicians, and one of the conversations I've had was around female pelvic pain relating to different interventions and research around it, and there is very poor, like very little appreciation even that certain procedures can be painful, and in fact people were not even offered pain relief during these procedures, and it makes me think, like, the pelvic pain world, like there is a dearth of knowledge and understanding, and almost like it's the it's The, not just that there's a lack of understanding, but there's a lack of appreciation of what someone might be experiencing when they're going through, interventions, or when they have a persistent pain problem, and it's true for women, men, etc. And yeah, one thing that we know about male pelvic pain is that we don't know much about male pelvic pain, certainly from a research perspective. A lot of what we know and we understand is from personal experiences, working with people anecdotally, putting translational work into practice as well. So our knowledge of the pain world and how that might relate to features and characteristics in
Yeah, and there is some, like there is the MAPP, the multidisciplinary approach to pelvic pain. They're probably the leading researchers in pelvic pain conditions for male and for female at the moment in the world. Do go and check them out. It's simple to remember their website. It's MAPP. If you just type that in, then it will spit out the website itself. And do go and take a look at some of the research. But there is a massive dearth. There's a huge gulf in the understanding at the moment. And I'm going to give you an example of something, of an intervention that a patient was told to have recently. It just sounds pretty shocking and pretty barbaric. And what that patient is now going through and what they're facing, it points hugely to we need to get more consistent. We need to get more understanding as to what the patient goes through, and what the outcome of some of the interventions might mean for individuals as well. So the symptoms, I suppose it might be a good time to reflect on what some of the symptoms might look for a patient as well. But anyone, a male suffering with pelvic pain is likely to have pain and discomfort between their ribs and their knees. And that's a big bodily area. And it's often going to be associated with things like urinary dysfunction, and sexual dysfunction. And that urinary dysfunction might include things like increased frequency, increased urgency, poor or weak stream, nocturnal urination, pain during or pain after urination. And around sexual function, we might be talking again about pain around ejaculation, painful erections. It might be painful intercourse as well. There might be erectile dysfunction coupled in here as well, delayed ejaculation or premature ejaculation, and just a whole heap of uncertainty that comes in the region. Or perhaps even because of the region that the symptoms affect the individual, our pelvis is pretty central to most of the things that we do in life. We're both sitting at the moment, and I'm for many people across the world, we just take that as as just an act that we take for granted. We can sit, right? Unless you're in some countries in the Far East where sitting on chairs, for example, is not the norm, then sitting down is a really, really functional activity. And for many, many men out there, it's just impossible to do. Urination, defecation, they're things we need to do as well. You can't, if you have back pain or let's say leg pain, you might say to a patient, rest your leg, take a load off, be a little bit lighter, don't avoid exercise. You can't say that with bowel or urinary habits. You can't say to someone, don't pee for a couple of weeks or don't have a bowel movement for a couple of weeks. So that knock-on effect is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, just thinking of it, like you mentioned that those areas, but it's worth just saying that isn't just the front, it's also the back. And you often hear people experiencing back pain, coccyx pain, pain around the anus, the perineum, down in through the back of the legs into the back of the thighs. You actually even hear people describe pains radiating as far down as the feet as well, don't you? So, yeah, that's not the pelvis, but well, God, it's just such a, if you are experiencing these things, you are not the odd one out. It's absolutely can be a part of the characteristics of pelvic pain that you experience widespread symptoms and affects many different areas of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Tim. And I'm going to give you just an example of the intervention. I mentioned that a few moments ago, and then perhaps we can explore a little bit beyond this. Here is an example of how back to front, some, not all, but some of the care is out there for guys suffering with this condition. So a patient presenting with testicular pain, they found a varicocele in his testicle, which is really, really common. A varicocele is a varicose vein, effectively an engorged or large vein that sits in the bottom of the scrotal sac. Really, really common. Very, 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 very rarely linked to or even the cause of pelvic pain. But if you've got testicular pain and you found a varicocele in the area, oh, is that it? Is that what's going on? Is that the cause? This patient was advised to remove his testicle to treat the pain in his testicle. Yeah, and that pause for that moment of silence is because I desperately feel for that individual. Not going to name drop or anything like that here as to who was involved in this process, but for me that's pretty barbaric, and it doesn't understand the concept of what pain is. There is just completely missed. Removing a body part that experiences pain isn't going to lead to the outcomes, more often than not, that we're hoping to have.
God, it's sad to hear, isn't it? And it sort of like I'm reminded of approaches from the mid 19th century. You know, in the mid 1800s, if you had unremitting, like really severe leg pain, you might have something chopped off. They were brilliant at it as well. They could do it really quickly. But when you, and I was, God, I was a saddo that I am. I've actually read some of these papers. You know, they do that, and that doesn't necessarily take the pain away. And many of us will have heard of phantom limb pain. And the reason that, and you can remove a limb, and obviously that might help pain. Absolutely, that can be the case. But you're often left with, you know, many people with phantom pains. And we can have phantom other part pains as well, can't we? So if someone's had a knee replacement, they can still have pain in the knee, even though they no longer have their knee. They have a metal knee now, and shoulder replacement, and you can have phantom tooth pain. And so it's not surprising that you could also have phantom testicular pain. So yeah, it's sad to hear. Yeah, it's sad to hear.
Yeah, I know phantom testicular pain myself. I don't have my right testicle. It's something that when I was experiencing my pain, pelvic pain symptoms, it was something I would experience, which was very bizarre. The absence of a body region, yet still being able to feel the presence of a sensation of discomfort there was pretty unsettling. It points to a whole, Tim, you educate globally on a number of pain presentations. I came to you as a student, and you have been a mentor for me, and now going full circle, it's just lovely to work together in this. And you would have, and I want to lean into this in coming episodes, but your expertise and your knowledge and your understanding into the world of pain and what it means is so, so valuable. And I think so many of our listeners can look beyond interventions like removal of body regions. And also even, and again, we don't have time for this today, but I'm kind of setting things up for the future. I know we've touched a little bit on the past in this, but moving beyond the AAA approach, the standard gold standard treatment for pelvic pain conditions, including antibiotics, alpha blockers, and anti-inflammatories. And when you've got someone like Tim Beams in your corner who is just, for me, an expert in pain, then to have that knowledge and that appreciation of what other contributing factors are beyond just biology, then it's really, really helpful.
Thanks for those kind words. Yeah.
So this has been the first comeback after a bit of a hiatus from pelvic pain natters or of pelvic pain natters with Tim Beams and Carl Monahan. I'm genuinely excited moving further forward, Tim. It's really, really nice always to spend time catching up with you. I like your lofty ambitions for the future. That's only going to do us and all of our listeners a whole world of good as well. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to wrap up today with? Any thoughts, any musings, any anecdotes?
I think we need to lift the expectations. Like, let's spread the word. If you're suffering pain, you know, the people around you are important. Perhaps that's something for us to talk about as well. And let's lift hope and, you know, possibilities. Like, what we realize about pain is that even with pain, we can live much more fruitful, enjoyable lives. And yeah, we're hopefully we can talk about how that can be realized.
What a nice message. And absolutely, there is hope. And that's part of the reasons why we're doing this podcast amongst a bunch of other things that we do for male pelvic pain conditions. But yeah, to raise hope, raise expectation, raise the bar in treatment and outcomes for patients. So it's been a while, but good to be back. Good to be doing this again. Lovely catching up with you again, Tim. And I look forward to catching up with you in our next episode, where we're going to start to explore the recover program that we run as well through Pelvic Pain Matters. That's Matters with an M. This is our online 6-month group recovery program for pelvic pain patients. We're going to unpack a little bit of that and give you a sample of what patients can expect in that.
Brilliant. Yeah. See you then.
Always a pleasure.